Esses núcleos de ensinamento,
these nuclei of teaching
que existem no plano interno,
these nuclei of instruction that exist on the inner level
para que a gente possa receber
are formed
a instrução que vem dos signos cósmicos.
For us to be able to receive então, instruction isso, coming from the cosmic signs that are above all this. Cosmic signs came into
então,
existence before everything else existed. So for that teaching, for that instruction to come down to us, we need to have many different intermediary nuclei. Or we need the hierarchy of teaching that receives, adapts, sifts through and transmits this teaching, this knowledge to us. But the origins of this teaching are in the cosmic signs. So when we are in contact with one of these nuclei that represent this teaching, we are then in contact with what is called primordial instruction. That is, it has remained untouched by the human mind, by human intelligence. It has not yet been dealt with by the human way of understanding. So there is this primordial teaching which during the entire life of the earth and during the entire life of humanity has always emanated from these cosmic signs. And it came through these nuclei of teaching, these hierarchies. It went on being adapted until it reached us. In order to grasp this primordial teaching, in the beginning, in Lemuria or Atlantis, long before the earthly sphere became what it is today, in order to pick up this teaching, there were what were called the seers. So when this teaching began, there were the seers, because this teaching had not yet been transformed into words. It had not yet been written down. So the earth had several seers, and these seers were considered to be the receivers of this teaching. So a seer, or a rishi, as they were called in India, a seer was practically the only representative of this because there was no other means to receive it, except through extrasensory perception. And these seers were able to keep on transmitting this teaching orally. And as this teaching was transmitted, it flowed more and more easily, and it was adapted to the times, to the circumstances, to those who were supposed to receive it. The seers were the ones who were in charge of this. Although this teaching comes through the cosmic signs, it really comes from a single source. The source is only one. Although the cosmic signs can provide this teaching or this instruction in different ways, but the source is only one. So each cosmic sign can send a specific form of teaching. But all the cosmic signs received this from the one source. This is a unified whole. So teaching or instruction is only one. This which we have on earth and which seems to be divided into many different teachings, a variety of forms of instruction, this happens because humans are mental. And so the teaching has to be given in many different ways. As we incarnate, as we go through the process of incarnation, we become infused with the experiences we undergo along our pathway on Earth. And as we become imbued with these experiences, the form of the teaching has to change because we change. So this teaching, which has been the same ever since the beginning, seems so different today. It is inconceivable that the teaching today could continue to be the same as it was in the time of Lemuria. The essence is the same. What has changed is the form. What has changed is the possibility for something to be transmitted in one way or another way. In Lemuria, that ancient continent, as well as in Atlantis, which came later, there were these seers, and there were versions of the knowledge and versions of the teaching that were specific to those times. Now, both in Lemuria and in Atlantis, there was already a quite complete and well-expressed synthesis of this knowledge. So much so that when the descendants of the Atlanteans arrived in India, they founded the caste system. They introduced the caste system, but not for the reasons we think. They formed castes in order not to give this knowledge to everyone, so that the knowledge would not be distorted. So they chose certain human beings who were more open to the instruction and to knowledge, and these beings formed a caste. After that, humans interpreted the caste system in their own way and warped it. Therefore, the caste system today is something loaded with prejudice. But castes were necessary then and were not biased. Today we regard the caste system as a prejudice, but then it was necessary. Just imagine, at that time, when there was no intellectual development the way we have today, how could certain knowledge be revealed to everyone? It was impossible. Just by receiving knowledge, we are already distorting it, because knowledge penetrates us, filters down through us, and reaches our understanding completely different to the source, to that which was the true knowledge. When I hear something, in the very act of hearing, it becomes modified. And when I understand something, when I receive it, I employ it in my own way, unconsciously. And that knowledge is in me, and to all effects, it is the same knowledge I received. Do you see why it was necessary to have the rishis, the seers, and the castes? It was because of this safekeeping, because of this caste system of teaching, because of this priestly caste, because these things were not separated in those times. Nowadays, a priest is a professional in religion, but in those days, a priest was a teacher. A priest was even a seer, a wise one, an interpreter of very elevated things, of the very pure and cosmic things that existed in those times. All this remained under the care of those beings, and in this way they could safeguard these things. And we have some vestiges of this primordial knowledge which has come down until today, and at a certain point it was disseminated. And when it spread, it gave rise to Christianity, to Judaism, Hinduism appeared, in light of this original teaching that was safeguarded on that level. What remained of this original teaching, of the purity of the teaching, of this purity of instruction, can be found in those hymns, those poems, the Rig Veda from India. So, of all the written, documented teaching, the Rig Veda is the beginning, the purest, the closest to the source, to that which existed in the beginning. This Rig Veda was given at the beginning of the intellectual development of humanity. So when the human intellect was developing, this Rig Veda was introduced. It contained, and it does contain, the basic keys to knowledge, and it presented the knowledge in the form of myths, in the form of legends, in different forms, so that it could come down, so that it could be transmitted. Later on, this began to appear in a human language, Sanskrit. This gave rise to the Vedas. So these are the first written teaching, and they were the purest in those times. But later on, when the Vedas began to be translated, to be transcribed, interpreted, they began to be watered down, to be modified, and to decline, especially because in the beginning, this pure knowledge, this genuine knowledge, was transmitted orally, and only later on it was compiled, only later it was written down. And this happened at a time that is impossible to set the date, when the Vedas came into existence, when this teaching was recognized, written or sung or passed on. There is no way we can say when it happened. They say that this kind of knowledge was compiled 25,000 years ago, but this may be so according to astrology. But 25,000 years are nothing in face of all these things. 25,000 years are nothing to say that this knowledge is 25,000 years old. It is a very materialistic view of this knowledge. But we are saying all this for you to perceive how necessary it is for us to arrive at inner knowledge, at inner instruction. Because even the purest teaching of the Vedas, even this purest teaching, I don't know if it is as pure as the teaching that comes from within a person, that comes from an individual's inner understanding. Because inner understanding, inner knowledge is not based on any book, on anything that a human being compiled. It is totally new, conceived at that very moment. There is no way this can be manipulated or badly translated. There is no possibility of this being interpreted by anyone. Because each one who touches this material modifies it, changes, he or she turns it into something else, imbues it with his or her own understanding, own energy, his or her own mental matter. So we use this instruction, this knowledge brought to us this way, materially. We use this while we do not have our own source, while we cannot yet reach our own source of knowledge. And this teaching that used to be pure becomes less pure the more modern it becomes. Perhaps it was purer in Atlantis than it is today. So from Atlantis, it went to Egypt, and from there into Judaism, then to Christianity, and all this manipulation that takes teaching farther and farther away from the source. And if we were to look at this in this way, if we saw it like this, we would really seek this inner knowledge, this direct knowledge, as a priority. Because it is as though we were being hoodwinked. So if those hymns of the Vedas that contained all the primordial knowledge were sung orally, that had a vibration, it had a movement, it had an essence that was also based on the vocal dimension. When it is written, it becomes something else. Written down, it evokes something else. It acts differently. Even though apparently it seems to be the same, but it is not. It is not the same because it needs sound. So if you read about the creation of the world in the Vedas, or if you go into the Vedas to find what you need to study, to learn, all this has been greatly manipulated because this was cloaked in written words, and the original impulse of the Vedas did not come from the written word but from the sound, the canticle, the hymns. There were so many elements. There were the rishis, the seers. So if we know these things, it is up to us to receive inner knowledge. Moreover, because the form used in this ancient teaching was a very symbolic form, and it depended on the understanding of certain symbols, which we have lost today, certain mythological situations that are very far removed from us today. So it's as though we were to have the primordial knowledge there, but it would be practically useless because so many things have happened to it, and it has changed so much that it is the greatest incentive for us today to really seek our inner source. And evidently, if you seek the inner source, if you draw from a source of knowledge, of instruction within yourself, you will not find the Vedas the way they are known today. You will not hear the things that are in the Vedas. There, you will get in touch with this knowledge, which is the same as in those times, but you will find this in the form that you need today, in the form needed for today. The way it is transmitted today, it is the same thing. Nobody has invented anything since the time of the Vedas. Nobody invented anything. Nobody created anything. All this, Christianity, Judaism, all these movements are nothing new. All this is as old as the beginning of the world, as old as the Vedas. But it is better for us to find the source, to find this same source. Inwardly, we have no need for the seers, we don't need the rishis, and we don't need all that priestly structure of the castes that existed at that time. Today we don't need this because castes, priests, rishis, all these were necessary because everything came to people from the outside. When it comes from within, there's no need for any of this. When it comes from within, you don't even need an interpreter. You don't need translators. You don't need anyone to explain. You don't need anything. Because the teaching comes, instruction comes in the form that is current, appropriate, ideal, essential for you, and in the form that you will really understand. You don't need help from anyone to receive inner instruction. And there's no attitude of pride here in not needing someone else's help. It's because help coming from someone else already begins to change things. The help that comes from someone else is that person's thing that comes to help you. So if you have received some instruction, if you have received some knowledge, if you are going to ask someone else, help me here, what does this mean? The other person will intervene here, and things will have already changed completely. And the voice of the other person explaining that made things change completely. Because the sound of the other person's voice has a vibration which changed its original sound. If there are sounds, and the other person's voice has modified them, it has already altered them. So inner instruction, inner teaching, has none of these characteristics, has none of these drawbacks. No one has touched what came from the source. No one has touched it. This is why we have to be so careful with this work of seeking things inwardly. We have to be very careful because it is within us, without any doubt. Our essence is there, our knowledge is there, the pure source is there. So that is where we are going to seek. But we need a lot of humility. And we need a lot of impartiality, because between coming from there and reaching your understanding, it goes through several levels of yours, it crosses several channels of yours. Finally, it enters your mind so that you can receive it mentally. And if this enters the brain, for you to have a mental recognition of this teaching impressed on your brain, it then can have already changed a little. It is not as tampered with as if it were brought by someone else, but it is no longer the same if it has crossed all those levels of yours. So this is why teaching today is given inwardly on very deep levels. This is why the cosmic signs today are projecting this instruction, and all the intermediary nuclei are attending to our learning, our formation, on a very deep inner level, a very profound level, so that it can be preserved as pure as possible. Do you see the reason for something being occult, the reason why it is not explicit? So we can be receiving instruction, and we are not aware of it at all. We haven't the least idea that we are being taught. At this point in our evolution, it is our monad that is receiving instruction. The monad is the one being taught. It's on our monadic level, in our spirit, that we are being taught. So there it is pure because it did not go through anyone acting as a channel. So today, this instruction and this teaching take place in the monad. There are some beings whose souls or higher selves are already attuned to these things. There are some souls that are totally determined to learn, souls that have already let go of their earthly experiences, souls that no longer have any motivation to experience anything here on earth. So these souls are the ones that we say are longing for knowledge, longing for instruction, because instruction has nothing to do with this earth. Instruction is reflected on earth. Instruction is reflected here, and it is going to change things here very much. But instruction does not come from here. Instruction comes from these nuclei, from these signs. So when this reaches our deepest level, there it is pure. So we can be totally assured that there we know what we are meant to know. Now, if the soul is going to receive this knowledge on its own level, this will depend on the love the soul has for these things, the love the soul has for knowledge, because at a certain point the soul can be loving other things, as you know. For example, the soul can be loving certain experiences. But if the soul has already transcended all these desires, if the soul no longer feels the need for those things it used to seek, then this soul is already able to receive this knowledge. And if the soul receives it, if it reaches the soul can then transmit, the soul can transfer this knowledge to its vehicles or to other nuclei that the soul might be using to be in service here on earth or in space. So for us to have a fairly pure knowledge, a fairly pure instruction on a conscious level, will depend on our soul becoming imbued with this knowledge that is being placed in the monad. It will depend on our soul becoming imbued with this and on our soul understanding that it is to pass this on to the consciousness. And evidently, this consciousness must be on a level of detachment from everything that is not this understanding, in order to be able to receive this without profaning it. Because this primordial teaching is sacred. It comes from very deep levels, and one's consciousness can easily distort it and misinterpret it and misapply it as well. So if you have already received some information or instruction or knowledge, if this has already reached your conscious level, it's up to you to apply it, to transform yourself. This primordial teaching in regard to our life today and in regard to what we need to apply this knowledge, this primordial knowledge in regard to our daily life today is very simple to be recognized. The first thing is non-violence. So non-violence is the opposite of daily life today. Non-violence is something we can gradually get to know and to understand insofar as our inner source discloses something about this. Because I might need to hear about non-violence in one way, and someone else might need to hear it in another way, to hear about non-violence in a different way. But non-violence is intrinsic, implicit in the knowledge that comes from within us. And non-violence is simply a term, it is merely a word. But if instruction about non-violence comes from within us, it becomes much greater, it becomes something that can be applied to all those aspects in which you are being violent and in which you have to stop being violent. The definition of non-violence does not resolve this. You already know about non-violence, and you can be thinking that you are not violent. But if non-violence, if this teaching does not come from books, from Buddhism, from Christianity, if this does not come from the outside, but if teaching on non-violence comes from within, you will see clearly exactly where you have to stop being violent. Do you see how inner knowledge is much more extensive? It's much vaster, much broader. And another thing that comes from within in this school, besides non-violence, is that which is the truth, which is something else that is different to each one. To each person, truth is something different. So for knowledge of truth to reach you, in the precise way you need to know truth, because even though people are telling you about truths, these are not totally suitable for you. Only when it comes from within is it the truth for you. Then you can have faith that you are beholding the truth, but not out here. No matter how true the situation might be, no matter how valid the situation might be, it's truth, but I don't know if it is real truth. It's not like the truth that comes from within. It certainly is not. There's a lot missing for it to be that real truth. So this is why we go around seeking truth, why we go about finding truth, that we think we have found the truth out there, But at a certain point, you see that it is not really truth, because no matter how true it might be, it is not your truth. It is not truth the way you can understand it, you can have it, receive it, be it. This really has to come from within. Another point is greed. These are primordial teachings. See how they have come down till today. And no matter how much this has been distorted, because you see what education today is like, today's education is the negation of all this. And how did this arrive? How did this come here? See the miracle of the hierarchy of teaching, the miracle of the hierarchy of knowledge, the miracle of this transmission. And so, greed and the desire to have the goods belonging to someone else. This appears to be something very simple, but we have no idea how much we covet things that belong to others. We covet things belonging to others. When we covet anything at all, it doesn't even have to belong to anyone. If you yearn for something, that something belongs to somebody. But all you have to do is yearn for something, and you are getting into something that belongs to someone else. You don't have to yearn for anything, because whatever you yearn for and desire to have, it's because that thing belongs to someone else, and it is not yours. You don't have to yearn for anything. You don't have to covet anything. Because if that thing does not belong to you, you do not have it. It is not in your consciousness. At that moment, it belongs to someone else. At that moment, it is resonating in the other person. So covetousness and desire for what belongs to others go far beyond the way they are described. And another point that this primordial teaching brought us is our correct attitude towards energy, because this is a primordial knowledge. If you don't have basic knowledge about the use of energy, you waste energy, you use energy badly, you distort energy as you misuse it. So we need knowledge on how to use energy. But spiritually, to use energy does not mean to use it the way we learn it in schools on earth. Isn't that how we learn to use energy? Because each one of us learns to use energy in a different way. And all this is valid, but in original knowledge, it was not just to use energy, but to use energy to do what? Here is the point. So if you are going to use energy to apply that energy towards a need, this is not pure. This was not given by the original knowledge. This has been distorted. The correct use of energy is for you to have this energy and to sublimate this energy. It is not for you to use this energy the way everyone else uses it. It is for you to sublimate this energy. It is for you to make this energy become sublimated. That is, you receive the energy on this level of the primordial teaching. You don't receive the energy for you to use. You don't receive it to make use of it. When you receive the energy, you take on the responsibility of sublimating it. That is, you take on the responsibility of receiving that energy, of handling it, and of elevating it to a higher level. So this sublimation is one of the last stages by which we enter the path of instruction. So one of the most advanced teachings that can be given to us is this use of energy to sublimate the energy for itself, not for us, and not to use it for ourselves. See the long way humans still have to follow to reach the correct use of energy. Because the best humans today, use energy correctly, but it's a question of receiving the energy and sublimating it. And when you sublimate this energy, when you are at the service of sublimating energy, you are the one who becomes sublimated. But this was not the principle. The principle is to sublimate the energy. See how all this used to be pure, how this is unconceivable today. Because the human beings are focusing their attention, their interest on themselves, on their own lives, on the way things function. So see how this primordial teaching that was called uncivilized, ancient, the Atlantean, Lemurian, Egyptian, see what this really was. And all this has greatly regressed. It regressed so much, and there are so many theories about energy. There are so many theories about the use of energy, but not this one, which is the only knowledge that we need to have about energy. We have to know that energy is something to be sublimated. And there are infinite ways for you to work towards sublimation. There are many different ways. So one individual may sublimate energy in one way, and another may sublimate energy in an opposite way. Do you see? You are receiving keys so that afterwards each one of you may develop them and decide which is your own way to deal with energy and what is taking place between yourselves and energy. Because if sublimation of the energy is going on between energy and yourselves, then you are within the teaching, you are within the instruction, you are a learned person. Now, if this energy is not being sublimated, or if you are not looking for how to sublimate this energy, you are indebted to this energy, because sublimated energy is free energy. It is an energy that is free, and it is up to us to do this work with energy. So we really have to seek this source, because everything comes from this source. Even the powerfulness for this energy to be sublimated. And I repeat, there is no formula for sublimating this energy. Each one sublimates the energy in his or her own way, in the way that it is individually possible to sublimate energy. And the way one person sublimates it may be very strange compared to the way another sublimates it. Someone does it in one way, someone else does it in the opposite way. The important thing is that you recognize that you are not here to use energy. Energy is not something you pick up and use and then discard, or use it badly, or use it in any old way. But you have to have this sacred attitude. You have to have this higher attitude towards energy. Of course, we are a set of energies. We have ray energies in each one of our bodies, in each level of ours. We are energy. Energy is a part of us. But energy is there to be sublimated. It is a service we are to render to energy. You are not to take energy and do something with it. This may happen as well, and it does happen along the way of energy, but the essence of the work with energy, and the essence has nothing to do with using energy for anything at all. Of course, energy will be used, but this is not the principle. This is not the pure principle. To work with energy is to sublimate energy. And then energy follows. Energy follows thought. So you might even be using energy, but if your goal is to sublimate that energy, that is what will happen. Because energy responds. Energy follows. Energy accompanies. But you have to have a pure intention in dealing with this.
Se nós estivéssemos
and if
bem à vontade neste assunto,
we were to be at ease with the subject, you can just imagine what peace there would be on earth, what harmony there would be on earth. Because in our being, we have all the ray energies at our disposal, all the energies that are manifested or are partially manifested. So it's not a question of using these things according to this original knowledge. Before it is filtered by the intellect, before it is filtered by human beings, before it is transmitted by all the incarnated teachers we know, to whom we are very grateful. But this has come down to this day, synthesized in this way. It's so simple. Do you want to learn how to use energy? Then you have to be willing to sublimate energy, to serve energy. That's where it all begins, on the right path. And as the energy begins to be sublimated because you are willing to sublimate it, by the most unbelievable processes, strange to those who do it in another way. If this is your intention, if this is what you want, then you are quite united to higher energy. And then higher energy will begin to go into action. The answer comes from the higher levels of energy, from the higher worlds. But this answer comes from the higher worlds when you have been purified, when you have been healed of this greed for energy, of this craving for energy. We receive energy in order to sublimate it. So if you find a certain energy in you, if you are under the influence of some energy, if some nucleus of yours expresses a certain energy, your intention is to sublimate that. Your intention is to elevate that. And you will find the means to do this. You will be inspired to sublimate that energy. To sublimate that energy is everything. So if you have a great love for Saint Teresa of Avila, you have to sublimate it. If you have a great love for God, you have to sublimate it. Do you see what sublimation means? To sublimate is not what you want or don't want to sublimate. Sublimation is everything. So that which is most sacred to you, that which all the laws tell you is most sacred, that has to be sublimated. You cannot hold on to that. And by sublimating this, you will encounter energy in other ways. To sublimate energy is for you not to covet, not to crave for, not to possess energy in any way. And you elevate whatever energy you perceive. You have this intention. This is very mysterious. This is not always conscious. And the way for this sublimation varies. Because sublimation is more than elevation. Elevation takes you up from level to level. Sublimation offsets your commitment with those levels. In sublimation, you go through a level, and that level becomes sublimated. And elevation from level to level means being identified with those levels. This is a little different. It is another kind of work. It is another stage. Or better still, the work is concurrent. Both things may be going on. You may be elevating from level to level, and at the same time, you may be sublimating. This means for you not to be identified with any level. Yes? Sublimation is unconscious. It is an inner and real result of renunciation. Renunciation is an act you perform. Sublimation is something unconscious. It is something over which you have no control. It begins to happen as you begin to renounce, as you begin to be detached. You don't covet. Greed is the right word, because there is nothing like greed to say this. All the rest is too mild. The issue is greed.